All right, everyone. Good morning. Here is your girl, Lady Diva, here on air. You're calling from Evansville, Indiana. I have a special show tonight, and that track there is called Thankful by Pablo Ouija. And that single is available now on all platforms. You wanted to make sure everyone be able to stream it and purchase it online. That is Thankful. I want to welcome you, my cousin Eric Mims from Mims Motors Corporation USA. And he is the one that broke the mold and has become the legendary founder of the world's first African-American car manufacturer since in the past 100 years, since C.R. Patterson and Sons of Cleveland, Ohio. So Eric Mims is on my platform to talk to you about the update of his technology, his electrified vehicles, and phone lines are open right now. So let's go with the show. Welcome back, Eric Mims. Welcome back.
Good morning. Good morning, Lady Diva. How you doing today?
All right. I'm doing just great. So what you been up to since the last time you were on the show? Now, we did a show in 2015 and also one in 2018, way before the pandemic. So update us on what's going on with Mims Motor Company here in the United States of America.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're still here. We're still moving forward. Things are getting done. We're actually getting through EPA approval on a couple different vehicles. We actually are, a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we spoke. it's just been crazy. Pandemic really put the kibosh on things for a bit. We lost some opportunities for funding that we had them on deck, and it really stopped things for a while. But you know me, I'm not going to stop. We're going to keep going until we get this thing done because, you know, that's what we do. As my dad said, you know, you got two things. You either have the time or the money, or the money and the time, or no time. So, you know, while you don't have the money, you got time, you do what you got to do in the meantime to get things done so that when you have the money, you can actually move forward and get it handled and get it done. So I had a conversation this morning, as a matter of fact, just about that very thing. You know, we're at that point now where we've got purchase orders. We're waiting for, you know, the funding to come in so that we can go ahead and produce those vehicles for those folks that were kind enough to, you know, support us and get vehicles in. And to those people, we say thank you so very much because every little bit of helps, you know what I mean? It's something that when you're an independent car manufacturer, to come out, and we're completely independent. This is not a situation where we're dealing with, you know, somebody that came in and just handed us a bunch of money and said, hey, go have fun. You know, this is very much a bootstrap situation. And, you know, we had opportunities to be bought out. We had opportunities to really do some things. I mean, what was it, 2015 when we first had our conversation?
Yeah.
We were fresh out of that situation with Empire Oil. And, you know, we had that opportunity then. We turned that opportunity down simply because of the structure of the deal, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, we wanted to keep the company independent. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, we had an opportunity to explore, and not only explore, but just to show everybody that it could be done. And I think sometimes when folks, you know, and rightly so, I guess, and from that standpoint, it comes down to when you got the money. You know, as the saying goes, he who has the gold makes the rules, you know, and it was a situation that when the money was available, I guess as the best way to put it, the strings that were attached to it were basically a noose for me. Nobody would have known that I created the technology. Nobody would have known that, you know that I had done it. And when I looked at my life and I looked at everything else, I just kind of said, you know what? I need to do this a different way. People need to see that somebody other than the majority, you know, of folks that are in this space, you know, can do it, you know, because, you know, like we said back then, you know, for the most part, you know, black folks are rappers, singers, dancers, or, you know, in some form of entertainment. We play basketball, football, you know, baseball, your boxing and stuff like that, we tend to, you know, be mostly in those arenas, but you don't hear about, you know, somebody in business. So, you know, for the rest of us, you know what I mean, who aren't 6 foot three or taller, who don't have the ability to throw a ball, you know, 100 yards or whatever, you know, I wanted to make sure that we got an opportunity to, you know, showcase and so that we can actually do something other than just entertain.
Yes, and thank you for that. Thank you. I am so proud of you, Eric. I would like for you to introduce yourself to the curious listeners. What would you tell them about yourself and what inspired you taking on this market? And first of all, I'd like to ask you, where are you calling from?
Currently, I am in the East Coast. I'm in New Jersey right now, but we're moving over to the Detroit area. We're going to be in currently New York, New Jersey area right now, but we'll be in setting up shop in Michigan, Ohio, and throughout the South. Down in the Delta. We still have opportunities to move forward down there, and we've got some major opportunities coming up in Indianapolis with Jim Gandolf. Gandolf Motorsports. We've got a massive opportunity that's coming there, but you didn't ask me that yet, so I'll go back.
That's right around the corner. I'm here in Evansville, Indiana, so. You know, it's good to hear connections going on here in Indiana. So, hey.
Well, Gandolf Motorsports and Mims Motors have a massive, massive project that's coming over there that's going to really, really change the landscape in that arena. And, you know, we're waiting for that actually is going to be announced, but I was told just a few minutes before the interview that I could talk about that situation. And, let me go back and I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Mims Motors is named after my father, Matthew Mims. And I've been working on this. I've been wanted to be a car manufacturer since I was a child, about 9 years old. And so I pretty much knew I either wanted to be a firefighter police officer, or a car manufacturer. So I guess it's the hardest route. And, you know, being hard-headed, I guess, is the best way to put it. And I worked with, worked on processes for many years. I designed and built my first car when I was 18. We worked on, you know, I started my company right out of high school thanks to Marlon Stroven over at Ford Motor Company, the SVU unit. Had a conversation with him, met him through some mutual friends, and had an opportunity to talk to him. And at the time, it was either the way Ford Motor Company did their business was either you had to be a car, you had to be a business, or you had to go to school and come through, you get your degree and go to work for them in order to work with Ford. And, you know, so when I was talking to Mr. Stroven, I had an opportunity to either go to school or to start my company, and I chose the latter. I chose to start my company.
Wow.
And I started the company right out of high school. I worked with BYD, Build Your Dreams, out of China. Met Mr. Wang Cheng Fu, his wife, and some other folks and things like that. Worked on, got into battery technology, started designing and looking into the generator systems and whatnot, and really going back and looking at some of the old school textbooks and everything. And when I got injured '91, some guy smashed my hand with a 400-pound backwall plate and almost cut my other hand off. He smashed my right hand with the backwall plate between a concrete and bank wall and almost cut my left hand off. So instead of being able to, you know, it was a career-ending injury. I was a bodybuilder. I was doing a lot of stuff. I was pretty cocky at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, that changed my life course. It was a major, major change in my life. And so I basically went from there. I made the world's first three-dimensional television. I made it what we called a three-dimensional television, mirror screen that's projecting TV. I made I took the battery technology that I was working on and made a smoke alarm that wouldn't fail. We heard about so many people dying in fire. So I designed a smoke alarm and went and met with First Alert and Kitty and some other manufacturers, Sunbeam and things like that. Got an award from the Fire Bugle Chief of St. Louis, and that was pretty cool. I was made a Kentucky Colonel for that invention. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And so we moved forward from there, and I really was trying to get – I was trying to make that project to make the money necessary so I could build my car.
Okay.
And so I got into the process and everything and got into designing the battery systems, motor systems, and things like that. And the efficiencies that we get out of our motor system and drivetrain system was tremendous. And when we looked at the opportunity – and I worked with a company called Magna International out of Canada. And Magna International tested my technology. I met with JVIS, USA, Mako International, Deluxe Technologies, and a number of other companies that actually tested and saw what I was doing. And they really reached out and helped me get some things done, which was huge, because in trying to start a new car company, what folks don't understand is we hear about the numbers all the time.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, well, you know what, this is going to cost X amount of dollars. Well, we think about, okay, a new car may cost you between $28,000 to $100,000. Okay, that's basically what we're thinking. But you don't understand how much money it takes to actually manufacture that car. They're starting from the ground up.
Yeah.
So between cost between $800 million to $1.8 billion, and in some cases over $2 to $3 billion. So basically, when I look at the situation of where I was at and trying to get my company started versus one of the other companies that started out at the same time, it would basically be like the distance between Earth and Uranus to get to the edge of the universe, to the edge of our solar system. So that's the difference that I had to deal with, the gap between what I received from the state of Nevada, which was about $2.3 million, versus what they gave Tesla, which was $2.8 billion. So there was absolutely no comparison as to the financial gap between. And I don't put that down and saying, oh, well, they gave him that, I got gypped because I was black or anything like that. I'm just stating the facts of the matter.
Right. Okay.
At the end of the day, I look at it like this: I had to persevere through a lot of stuff, and when you don't have much, you tend to make adjustments and you do more with less than to the point where, as we said, we've done so much with so little for so long, we can do the impossible with nothing.
Right.
And that's basically what we've done. And at this point in time, we persevered through everything. Been at this for over 34 years now, and we've gotten to the point now where we've got purchase orders, and they come bring it back around to Jim Gandolf Racing, and Motorsports, and also the dealership network that we have. We've got purchase orders, and we've got dealerships that are lined up throughout the United States and around the world. I've actually been around the world. I've been to Dubai.
Yeah.
I've been to Africa. I've been to, I haven't gone to Cote d'Ivoire yet, but I've been to Dominican Republic, Amsterdam, Paris. I've been a lot of places around the world.
Dubai.
And I was made a chief. Yeah, Dubai twice. I was made a chief in Aquaibum. The king of Abino land, so we're gonna made me a chief, and he named me Iggy by one. it means the rock that cannot possibly be moved from Jehovah's purpose.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
So thank you. Yeah, so we've got some things that we're going to get done now, and exceedingly excited about what's happening, because with Gandolf Motorsports there in Indianapolis, we're actually got a 50,000 car purchase order coming. They're building some housing and things like that, and they're going to employ a lot of people. And for those folks that get a house, they're going to get a MEMS motor vehicle. And so they're getting that documentation together now, and going to be putting forth some things to really help the community. And we're really excited about that. In addition to the purchase orders and things like that, we'll have with our dealerships. So
We've got some really awesome stuff that's going to be coming into to play. And, you know, even with Auto Parker, just even our dealerships are going to be designed different. If you guys have seen the Carvana sites,
where it's
like a gumball machine. We're partnered with our Auto Parker.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
the company that builds that. Yeah, yeah. So our dealerships will look like, you know, will look like that. You know, when you see that, you'll know that's a Fisherman's Motor dealership. You know, some of them won't have that at the beginning, but, you know, that's our goal is to have that to be a full service experience. So when you come in, you know, you got the cars all lined up and you can pick what you want and it'll slide down and slide out to you and, you know, you're going about your
business. Ah, that is awesome, man. That is awesome. So I have questions for you. I've heard that your vehicles, your electrified vehicles, are 100% recyclable. So can you give us details from top to bottom? How are they recyclable? What materials are they? And even the tires. So go right ahead.
Yeah, the that's on the premium line vehicles. We've got some proprietary technologies that we're working with that when it comes down to it, basically, it's all natural systems and fibers that we work with. We do a lot of carbon capture technologies with our sister companies. And what we're able to do is create clean energy. And we do a carbon capture on that clean energy so that we are able to make the materials that we have that are necessary. And then with the proprietary blends on those, we're able to make different materials out of that. So you'll have all natural plastics, all natural fiber, carbon fibers, and things like that that we'll have in those systems. One of the things that we're able to do is we'll be able to make the tires out of carbon black. That's one of the main materials that, you know, you make your tires out of. So, you know, the tires will be 100% recyclable. Your rims, everything else on the premium vehicles will be basically from the ground up 100% recyclable. So you'll be able to take that vehicle at the end of its service life, which will be over 1 million miles, and stick it in the ground and basically it'll grow more hemp. It'll dissolve. It'll fully break down and be able to be, you know, useful again. And that's exceedingly important because when we look at some of the other materials that are being manufactured or strip mined, it's not sustainable. I've been saying that for years. You know, we're looking at it, yeah, and it's funny because when I looked at the systems that were there, our proprietary technology takes into consideration all of the issues that we see or that we saw in the beginning. We saw that, you know, when as we were discussing before the show started, you know, pandemic, you know, really changed the landscape.
Yeah.
Because we saw what happened when we stopped driving fossil fuel vehicles. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the sound of a, you know, monster V8 and the scream of a V10 and V12 motor and things like that. But when it comes down to commuter vehicles, when it comes down to trucks, when it comes down to something that's not really, you know, for the thrill of it, so to speak, you know, I feel that those vehicles should be electric. And, you know, not only just electric utilizing, you know, lithium or things like that, that's a rare earth metal. You know, cobalt, magnesium, those things are poisonous, you know, and how do we get those materials? You know, sometimes we look at things and we don't see, and when we say we don't see what's going on, we tend to think that, okay, well, that's not harmful because we don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, but how what's the material that's being utilized in order to get that? You know, what are the systems that we're creating in order to create the electricity to power our vehicles? You know, all of that stuff, we have to go through the entire chain and look at the entire chain from start to finish and from finish to start, you know, so that when we get the end result is what we want. Because when we looked at what happened at pandemic, you could see Mount Kilimanjaro, you could
see
the Himalayas,
you
could see, you know, the lakes cleaned up, you know, the earth has tremendous healing powers. you know, and it cleaned itself up, you know, very, very quickly. You know, it didn't. I mean,
yeah, it was very quickly.
Yeah, we put decades of damage to this planet, and once we stopped damaging it, it started healing itself.
Yeah,
and
that's
you know,
right.
As soon as we went back, it's like you know, it's like you can't unsee that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's a
yeah.
situation where, you know, you can't unsee that, and it's something that I saw when I was a kid. I remember asking my dad, you know, that he's, you know, Dad, where does the smoke go? He said it goes into the air. I'm like, don't we breathe the air? He says,
yeah,
just go ask your mother. You know what I mean?
It's
a situation where, again, there was that kind of mindset that, hey, it's done. I can't do anything about it. What do we do? You know, just most people don't think twice about it because, hey, I need gas in my car to get where I need to go. But at the end of the day, we need to make adjustments so that we can do something better. But when we're doing something better, just because it works doesn't mean that it's the best way to do it. We need to look at everything and make sure that the systems that we're putting in place are actually doing what we needed to do. You know,
I would like to ask you, how are the cars, your vehicles, get charged or get powered? Now, any person that purchases any of your vehicles, do they have to install some type of technology inside their garage to charge up the vehicle?
The only one that they'll have to do that on is the lithium units. We just released the lithium E7. And it's kind of funny to say that, you know, I'm talking bad about lithium and cobalt and all that stuff, but that's just a limited run. And the reason why we're doing a limited run is to get folks relief on the current gas prices.
Yeah.
You know, with fuel going kind of crazy and things like that. And we haven't gotten through EPA approval on our proprietary technology. Our proprietary technology, they do not have to have that. For the lithium E7, they will be able to purchase the charger, in-home charger, or use the supercharger network in order to recharge the vehicle. And that's an important distinction between the two. The lithium E7 only has a range of 260 miles. The Wi-Fi-enabled black box technology systems that we have in our premium vehicles and our E-line vehicles that says Wi-Fi. If it says Wi-Fi recharge, then those vehicles actually will be able to go up to 1,000 miles, recharge in 5 minutes, they'll be able to not go into a charging station for 24 months, 2 years, or 24,000 miles.
I want one now.
we're working on that, and you know, those will be out pretty soon. And like I said, that goes back again to that, you know, that difference between 2.3 million and 2.8 billion.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot longer to get the money up necessary to do all the testing and everything else that has to be done.
Yeah.
So that's why it's taken so long for us. A lot of people thought that we were blowing smoke, and it's just like, no, we simply didn't have the money necessary to get it done. So we had to walk it down, you know, and you know, there's a difference between somebody getting on a spaceship and flying off, you know, versus us, you know, having to walk where we need to go. And we had to walk it down. And we picked up a lot of stuff on the way. And that's why, you know, those premium vehicles are going to be 100% recyclable. That's why, you know, the system will go 24,000 miles before you have to go into service it for, you know, a full service overhaul. You know, that's why you get 1,000 miles and recharge in 5 minutes. That's why those vehicles are going to have so much more technology and things in it because, you know, when we looked at everything, you know, that's why the car is 100% recyclable. You know, you look at the situation, like when I went to Africa, you know, I'm looking at the open sewers and everything else that's going on over there, and you say, okay, in America, we sit back and say, oh, they got dysentery, they got yellow fever, they got malaria, they got this and this and this. You know, so many diseases, airborne diseases, why don't they just do X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
They can't. You know what I mean? The infrastructure is not there, you know, and it's not a situation where somebody can just sit there and say, okay, well, I've figured out what's wrong. I'm going to do something about it. They don't have the infrastructure to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, so when we went over there and looked at the situation, you see what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you got some incredibly smart people over there. I mean, the only thing they need in order to be, you know, get out of, you know, third world status is, you know, clean water, clean energy, and clean infrastructure. You put the infrastructure in there, you got some extremely smart people over there that can, you know, take the ball and run from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when we look at everything, it's like this is, you know, the world is interconnected, and we have to make sure that we're doing everything that we possibly can to help the world. And it's not about the money. It's about doing something differently, because every time that people sit back and put money above people, then, you know, people suffer.
Mm.
And, you know, we have to look at the situation and make it better, you know, for everybody. So, yeah, people get mad at me all the time and tell me, hey, you know what, you could have done this and you could have done that. You could have sold out. You had this opportunity and so on and so forth, and you would have gave it up. Well, you know what, it gets painful sometimes because, you know, I'm human. And I'm worried about stuff. I got, you know, I'm trying to take care of things. I don't want people yelling at me because it's not done yet. You know, I don't want that, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to, you know, I'm trying to make a sacrifice to do what's right and trying to find and trying to do the best I can to strike the balance. You know what I mean?
How do you feel being a black man having this technology in the vehicles? These electrified vehicles you have. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel like you're alone in the world, or alone just in the black for the black community? How does that make you feel?
Weird, because you know, like you said, when I look at the whole situation. Okay, if I was a rapper or a ball player or something like that, that's something that everybody sees. And because they see that, they're
it's
so
common.
Used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's common. So, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, if you got the skill set, you know, hey, it's a great thing and people support you, you know, but when it comes down to me, it's so far out of the realm. Most people, when they hear me say, hey, I'm a car manufacturer, they say, oh, you got a car dealership?
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm a car manufacturer. What dealership do you have? I'm a car manufacturer. What dealership do you have? Do you sell Dodgers? You sell, you know, Mercedes? What do you sell? Mims Motors. What's that? Is that a division of Mims? Is that a division of Dodge? Is that a Ford? Or is it an American company? It's like, no, it's my company. It's named after my dad. What do you mean? You got a dealership? You're like, no, I build cars. I design and build electric cars. And they look at you like you got a horn growing out of your head, you know what I mean? And that monkey just flew out your butt. You know, it's like, what?
Oh, my gosh. So I'd like to ask you, is your technology going to help with the trucks and school buses, city buses? Have y'all had that in mind as a future project?
Yes, we actually have systems. The efficiencies and the systems that have been designed are basically designed to incorporate anything that moves, anything that requires energy, anything that needs, you know, clean water, anything like that. So from planes, trains, and automobiles, boats, ships, houses, grid systems, everything, it encompasses everything because everything is energy and everything is motion. So when you look at the systems that we created, you know, the same system that goes in the car goes into our charging stations. Those charging stations provide electricity to the grid, which provides energy to your home. And, you know, so therefore, you know, we're getting into a system where instead of having a very large power plant out in the middle of nowhere, you know, we can have multiple systems scattered throughout so you have a more robust grid system.
Yeah.
One of the issues that we have right now is that with electric vehicles, the grid system, our current grid system can't handle electric vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
That's
a situation
right.
that, you know, it's set up so that it basically will power stuff that are, how can I put this? When you look at the current grid system, it's designed on the bell curve. We, you know, as a engineer, as a you know, creative electricity. You know that so many people are going to come home from work, and they're going to turn on the AC, they're going to turn on the TV, they're going to,
yeah.
you're going to have a spike in how much power is required. So
right.
they can plan for that. But
yeah.
people, when we go to get our vehicles recharged or put gasoline in, there's no set parameter as to when that
yeah.
person's going to do that.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about, you know, the ease of and efficiency of trying to charge an electric vehicle, that's a tremendous amount of energy that has to be put in, and it's a massive spike. So if you got a couple people, you know, a couple hundred people that are trying to charge their cars at one time, not so much of a problem. But
right.
now when you start talking about a couple thousand people trying to charge at the same time, a couple million people, you're going to start having rolling blackouts and things like that because our grid system is not designed to handle that.
Right.
It's not designed to handle the spikes. So
yeah.
that's how come our system doesn't use that type of – we don't use an electromagnetic charge. So,
right.
you know, with our system, the vehicle is actually able to recharge and continue to move forward. And, you know, when you come in for a service – then we make sure that everything is proper with the system and you go on about your business.
Right.
But so far as some of the other vehicles, it's good in theory but horrible in practice simply because of the unpredictability of the grid. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we take that issue out and we remove the systems because it's basically when it comes down to electric vehicles, it was when we first started this, the chicken
yep.
and the egg. You know, where
yeah.
do you build a charging station network for a vehicle that people might not want, or do you build a vehicle with no place to charge it but at home and people have range anxiety because we tend to think, okay, I got a car and 260 miles is plenty of range. I mean, where do you go that you're going to use over
right.
200 miles?
Right.
You know, but and mentally we want to have the ability to, okay, I don't want to get stuck somewhere.
Right,
so
right.
we have this mindset that, oh, you might travel 50 miles in a day, you know, just running all your errands. You might even stretch
yeah.
to 100 miles. You still got
right.
160 miles worth of charge left that you can recharge and going about your business.
Right.
But we still mentally have this thought process that, okay, in my gas powered car, it takes me 5 minutes to recharge, you know, fill up the tank, and I go wherever I want to go. It's a pain in the butt, but I know that I can refill my tank in 5 to 10 minutes, you know, so we've gotten used to that process. You don't think about how much fuel you have until the gas light comes on.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we have range anxiety that we have to deal with, and the systems that were designed by, you know, that I designed are set up so that we don't have that issue.
Oh.
And because we no longer have those issues, you know, you don't worry about range anxiety because, you know, I've been across the United States and around the world, and, you know, there are some neighborhoods that you just don't want to stop in. You
That's
don't want
right.
to have a situation.
That's right.
You know,
drive right through them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's just say you drive in a green car and you're in a brown neighborhood. Okay, well, you don't want to stop in the green car, you know, because, like, hey, you might not be gang-affiliated, but, you know, somebody, you don't want to stop there because everybody else is wearing brown and you're driving a green car. You know, you don't want to go over there because you don't want to handle problems, you know what I mean? And people
yeah.
are losing their minds out here. You don't want
yeah.
to go to a gas station late at night, you know? So with our system, basically, you won't ever have to worry about going into a filling station if you don't want to.
Right.
And when you do go into a filling station, you know, for a motor vehicle, there will be charging station attendants there. It'll be
yeah.
very well lit, and you'll feel safe when you get there because there's people who work there that care about you. And, you know, that's one of the things that we want to do. That's one of the things that the technology allows us to do is to provide, you know, jobs for people, which, you know, reduces crime because when you're looking at folks actually having a livable wage, you know, and I say a livable wage, we complain sometimes because, you know, we don't make enough money in some of the jobs that we have. Some jobs are set up where, you know, they're stepping stone to get you to the next job. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to
yeah.
be there for the rest of your days. But,
yeah.
you know, we're looking at our system as, okay, we're going to hire some kids out of high school and let them, you know, come to work as a charging station attendant, and they can grow from there to a station chief, and from a station chief to a regional chief. And once they get to that level, they can determine whether or not they want to go and come work for the company in a different capacity.
Oh.
So a person may start out as a station attendant, you know, just recharging vehicles and eventually be designing starships.
Oh,
don't
wow.
know.
Yeah.
That career path that they want to choose is going to be up to them. They may want to go into management. They may want to design electric cars. They may want to design boats and aircraft and things like that. You know, we're working with, Metro Air out of Las Vegas, Nevada, and we've got some major things coming up with them. You know, we've got some projects
wow.
that we're working on to build our first electric planes, you know. So
oh, wow.
there's some things that, yeah, it's not, we're not confined just to the, terrestrial-bound vehicles. You know, we're making a lot of really cool stuff that's going to be coming out
wow.
Here in the near future.
Okay, I was going to ask you a question about any future projects, so you already answered that. So I would like to ask about the scratch and dent exterior on your vehicle. Now, which vehicles have the don't have the scratch and dent, and which ones that do?
Okay, well, the E-line, the economy mm-hmm. line, basically those vehicles are more traditionally based. So just like when you go outside and look at a normal car out on the street, those vehicles are traditionally based and they have the same similar structure. But the premium vehicles are designed out of composite materials, and they are basically when we design and paint the vehicle, the paint is actually sucked into the material itself. So it's, you know, almost impossible to scratch. I mean, basically,
okay.
You'd have to take a chainsaw to scratch the car. So which is, you know, really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically bonded, and the paint is bonded into the material of the vehicle. And those vehicles, you know, with the designs that, you know, again, I don't design everything, but we did some things with JVIS, and they're designing some things that basically, you know, those cars would be the safest vehicles ever made. And,
yeah.
You know, very, very grateful to them because of the way that, you know, the advances in the technologies, our cars can't burn, you know, I mean, well, I won't say they can't burn. I guess you would be able to eventually burn it if you wanted to, but, you know, and it takes some serious effort to do that. And
wow.
there's no chance for electrical shock. The vehicles actually have the ability to render the pack inert so that the system can't catch fire during the crash. The overheating, you know, some systems when you're dealing with a solid-state battery, you know, once you have the safety structure is punctured, you can have a cascade runaway effect where the battery system can catch fire or electrify the vehicle itself. And, you know, there are things that people put in place in order to make it sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there are instances of certain electric vehicles that have caught fire. And lithium actually, once it does catch fire, it emits noxious fumes.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are things that, and they're difficult to put out, you know, if you don't
yeah.
have, you know, there's some systems that, you know, that are available that they've caught fire. And they've used millions of gallons of water to try and put one of them out.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, trying to crap on anybody's vehicle, you know, but guess what's this out there? And I know some
yeah.
people know what I'm talking about, and they know that it's an issue.
Okay.
That's not an issue that we have. I hope that company does get an opportunity to make some changes and things like that, simply because they're doing good things when it comes down to, you know, the environment and trying to get us off of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when you look at the situations that are going on in the world, we've already passed peak oil. So,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter what a person thinks about certain things. Again, I look at transportation. Are we using this as transportation or is this recreation? If it's transportation, the only thing you're doing is, you know, if you're driving a Toyota Corolla, okay, you're not racing anywhere. You're not enjoying the sound of the motor. You're not doing there's no real enjoyment in that car. Sorry, Toyota, but there just isn't. You know, if you're driving a Yaris or something, you know, just to save on fuel, that's not something that should actually be utilizing fossil fuel.
No.
Save that for a 69 Dodge Charger. Save that for a Lamborghini. Save that for a Bugatti Chiron. something that when you're driving it, you're like, oh, yeah, this is what I want. You know, I mean, because there's only certain vibrations that you get when it comes down to a gas-powered car. I'm a motorhead. I grew up on that stuff. So, yeah, that's going to have a special place in my heart. But when it comes down to something that's just, okay, I need to go from my house to the grocery store, or I need to go from my house to work, most of the time you get in your car, you're not even thinking about the fact that you're driving a car. You're just thinking about, okay, I got to get to work.
Yeah.
So if there's no enjoyment in having that vehicle, why not just drive something that's electric?
Right.
You're just going from place to place. It doesn't matter. You know, it's not like, hey, I love my car, I want to be seen in it. It's like I'm driving my car to go to work and come back home.
Yeah, exactly. I see that too. So as I want to ask you, how can anyone order a vehicle on your website? So give us brief details of your website and how to order one of your vehicles. And give us a list of fleet of the vehicles that are available.
Okay, currently the E-Line is available. The E-Line E7 Plus Lithium is available right now at the 260-mile range. Vehicles on our website. You can go to our website. It's www.mimsmotorsusa.com, and you'll be able to go in there and order any of the vehicles. You can put a down payment or pre-order the E2, which is our subcompact four-door vehicle, and you can also order the E7 Plus, which is the Wi-Fi enabled vehicle. As I said previously, the E7 Lithium, which is a limited time vehicle, and I have to go back to that car because the E7 Plus Lithium, that vehicle is eligible for what we would call a swap out. So if you bought that vehicle right now, you could actually have that vehicle, delivered to you, and once that vehicle is delivered, E7 Plus, the Wi-Fi enabled vehicle is available. Let's just say you bought a black one and you said, hey, you know what? They just came out with Rissy Red and I want the red one. You can actually reorder, and when that vehicle is available, we'll tell you, hey, we've gotten BPA approval. You can order the new vehicle. You can actually change the color on the vehicle that you want, change the options and things like that you want. And when you change that and bring that car back in, we'll call you when it's ready. You go to the dealership, and you hand them the keys. You give them a dollar. You sign a contract, and out with a brand-new vehicle, no matter how many miles that other vehicle has on them.
A dollar?
And what we're going to do with this, and what we're going to do with the vehicle that you just turned in, we're going to give an opportunity. We're going to refurbish that vehicle and change it over to the Wi-Fi system, and then we'll have an opportunity for someone less fortunate than you, such as teachers or firefighters or police officers or something like that.
Okay.
Those individuals will be able to get a refurbished vehicle for cheaper, and they'll be able to go ahead and get that vehicle and be able to, again, help clean up the environment. And you'll be helping teachers and firefighters and those that have been of service to us so that they can actually, you know, get around and not pollute as well. So, and it also makes, with our technology in our vehicles, it's in balance, so it'll actually make you feel better when you're driving it. So, it's a win-win situation.
Oh, wow. Okay, go ahead.
No worries. And we also have, we've got a pickup truck that will be coming out. We actually had that on our Twitter. About the same size as a Nissan Pathfinder. What is the other vehicle? Xterra. No, not the Xterra. Xterra is the SUV. I'm sorry. It's the same size as the small truck that Nissan has. I can't remember. Frontier. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than the Frontier, I believe it is. I have to double check on that, but I believe it's a little bit bigger than that. And we've got a larger E-Line truck that's coming out. It's about the same size as the GM Avalanche, Chevy Avalanche. That'll be out in a couple years. And we've got about 10 vehicles that are going to be coming out on the E-Line side of things. And then we also have 17 vehicles that will be coming out on the concept side for the premium vehicles. Those are the vehicles that can't be scratched. Those are the fully upgraded systems vehicles. Those are the cash pajamas right there. Those vehicles have so much stuff available in them. The designs for the noise, vibration, harshness are going to be bar none. Basically, when you get out of that car, you will not want to get out of those vehicles simply because it's not so much like a rolling isolation chamber, but it's a rolling isolation chamber. Those vehicles are designed to have a feeling like when you go to the beach and you put your feet in the sand and it grounds you. That's how you'll feel when you get out of those cars. You'll feel better after driving one of those vehicles and you get out than you did before you got in it.
Wow.
So I personally can't wait because I want the Sage. And also, obviously, the Sabre. The Sabre is going to be a monster of a vehicle, and I have a speed addiction. So, I got it bad. You know, I'll be over there on the Autobahn or something like that, or, you know, I got to go somewhere, you know what I mean? I got to go to the Green Hill or something. But, that vehicle is going to be something else. All-wheel drive, 1,883 horsepower, active aero, active downforce. That vehicle is going to be in an upcoming movie by Moxie Motion Pictures called The Boy You Knew Too Much. And that's when you guys will get a chance to see that vehicle.
Oh, my God.
Out there. That's going to be the first one that's out there, actually in a movie. And Moxie Motion Pictures
is
They're actually in production right now. They're working on things. We're actually building that vehicle, and it'll be out as soon as we can. We'll be showing some pictures and things like that. And we actually sent I think I sent you a picture of it, possibly even a video. But you know that thing is going to be something sick, and I can't wait for that one to get out. Yeah, I can't wait for that to get out there. And the Sage.
On your website, all told to expect a minimum of 500,000 vehicles to be sold before the end of 2023. And your dealerships have already begun receiving vehicles by
the end of the year. Dealerships haven't gotten the vehicles yet. They haven't.
Okay.
We've got purchase orders for vehicles, and we're currently waiting for the financing to be released so that we can go ahead and manufacture those cars.
Okay.
And once we get that stuff done, then we're off to the races. We're at the end of that line. It is very frustrating because we have to wait. You know, it's kind of a hurry and wait situation. You know, folks have been waiting for this for a long time, and you know, it's difficult to talk about it. You know, it's coming. You know it's there. You know where you're at, but you gotta wait for somebody else to finally tick those last boxes and release it. So once it's done, we'll be off to the races and we won't have to stop again. So you know it's better to, I guess, be here than to be starting, stopping, and then you know get even more egg on my face. So I mean, like I said, pandemic really tore me a new one.
Right.
Because we would have been out, if pandemic hadn't happened, we would have been out 2 years ago. Yeah, because we had the financing was sitting, I was ready to go, and I was headed over to China to sign the paperwork and get everything done. And the financing fell through because of the pandemic. They shut down China first, and then once that happened, you know, once Hong Kong shut down, we didn't get the money. And unfortunately, the gentleman that we were working with in order to get that done passed away due to COVID. We've had some. Brenda, if I told you some of the stuff that's happened in the last 2 years, it is like Satan himself has basically said, you're not going to finish this, but God said you're going to. So
right.
I'm always going to rely on Jehovah to get things done. We had some really, really hard things happen. I mean, it was.
I believe it.
I believe it.
And the tone of your voice when I got to talk to you finally on the phone after a year and a half, I heard it in the tone of your voice. And I'm like, okay. So it took me a minute to actually want to call or text you to see where is the update going with your company. And I kind of had a feeling, you know, what was up. But I would like to ask you, what is this inspiration behind your vehicles, behind your company, your corporation?
Matthew Mims, my dad. My dad got a chance to see. My dad told me before he passed away, I'm not going to be here to see this. I'm not going to see.
It's okay. You're all right.
But he saw that car. He saw it. He saw the E7 sitting in the driveway. We had, my oldest brother and I, we turned.
It's okay. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, we turned his bed around. He was bedridden, and we turned his bed around, and he got a chance to see it, and he started crying. And that was the first time I ever saw my dad cry. I mean, I was 49 years old when my dad passed, but
yeah,
I never saw him cry before. And
wow.
He looked out the window, and he saw that. He said, I knew you were going to get done. I knew it. He said, other people said you weren't going to do it. He said, there was a pipe dream. He said, but I told everybody that my baby was going to get this done.
Right,
and here it is.
Right.
He said, I can't ride in it. And, but just know I'm so proud of you. And I never gave up. I knew you. There was never a doubt in my mind that you were
right.
going to get it done. I never
right.
doubted. And here
right.
it is. He said, I'm not going to be here, son, to see you finish. But you're going to get it done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My dad never stopped working. He never stopped doing stuff. He never gave up on me.
And you picked up the same ability that he has because you watched him, you've seen him in action, and you loved his work ethic, and you are just like him. And you just didn't
give
up.
My dad was my hero. My
yeah.
dad was my hero. My dad, that was my Superman. He was Blue Marvel to me.
Yeah.
You know, smart, strong, and he was larger than life. And
yeah.
You know, I get angry with myself because it's not done yet. I'm angry at times because of all the stuff that's happened and stopped me from finishing. It's difficult. You know, because you go through so much and
yeah.
You know, those people that, you know, I've had so many people come and see my stuff.
Yeah.
I've had so many people come and say, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Give it to me. Here's some breadcrumbs. Give it to me. Here's this. Take this.
Yeah.
You know, just take this and go away. Give it to me and I'll finish it. You know, and then I've had people get mad at me because I didn't take the money to get it done from people who were trying to steal it. You know, so it's like, okay, why in the world should I be upset? Why are you upset with me because I didn't let somebody steal it? And why are you upset with me because I didn't let you steal it? What's wrong with y'all? And it's like, you can't get this done. You know, you're black. You ain't, nobody's going to help you. Nobody's going to help you
wow.
get through this. And it's
That's
like, you, I mean, Brenda, it's like, I don't want to use the black card, the race card or anything like that, but when you're sitting there, and I've walked into meetings, and the check was on the table with my name on it, and they thought my vice president was me, who was Italian. They thought he was me, and they were taking him over to show him the check, And he told them before they got there that his name, who he was, and that I was the CEO of the company. Mm. And they turned around and looked at me, and they were white as ghosts. It looked like somebody had came and killed their dog right in front of them. And they went over there and covered the checkup. We walked out of that meeting. It went from, we're going to sign this and here's the money, to 20 questions, 60 questions, whatever. I've gone into meetings where things are supposed to have been done. They've written my documentation and everything else. And then they asked me, are you sure you're the person who made this? Like, what do you mean, am I sure I made this? What do you mean, am I sure I'm Eric Mims? Am I, what?
What?
It's like, what are you talking about? Jim walked out of that meeting. He threw his book bag down and said, tell me that didn't just happen. Just tell me that didn't just happen.
Said,
Jim, what do you mean? I said, Jim, what do you mean? He says, the check was on the table. I saw it.
Oh, my God.
It had your name on it. I saw it, and they covered it up.
Mm-mm-mm.
They had the media there to take pictures of this being done, and they covered the check up, and they went to 20 questions and then told us that they would get back to us, and they denied
See?
It.
Mm. That's just
so
wrong.
It was like, he says, please don't tell me that happened. I said, Jim, that happens to me all the time. I'm used to it.
Yeah, well, I think your greatest power is keeping your father's legacy.
Gotcha.
And that will be what you'll be fighting the most than just worrying about getting a project done and out.
Well, I mean,
we
I look at it like this. My dad helped everybody he could.
Area code 602, go ahead and speak. State your name, please.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Good morning. Good evening.
Good morning.
I have y'all listen to this broadcast. I'm calling my winning team, man. We're 300 strong all across the country, so I'm texting people right now. I definitely appreciate you opening my line.
All right.
Thank you. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, sir. I was just intrigued by the topic. I was like, oh, I got to call everybody and tell them come on in.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I apologize about getting emotional over here. When I start talking about my dad, it kind of takes me there. Sorry.
Oh, don't feel bad, brother. I'm a radio rat, too, man. My father, he's a major mover and shaker in the entertainment industry. And he started me out. I've been in business for the last 30 years on my own. So the apple won't fall too far from the tree.
Thank you. Well, thank you. If I can be in his shadow, I'll be just fine.
Hey,
well, thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to have some other callers calling in, too, here shortly.
All right.
I can't talk fast enough.
All right. Just stand by. And,
yes,
Eric,
ma'am.
Do you have any shout-outs you'd like to give at this time to all the persons that have had the backbone to support you through and through and completing some projects with your company and your vehicle? Any shout-outs you want to give at this time?
Man, we'll be here forever if I do that. Everybody knows that, you know, we've been at this for a long time, and there's a lot of people who've been assisting and helping us get through all of this stuff. And it is amazing that, you know, at the end of the day, it's difficult for me to single out folks. You know, I mean, I've had some, you know, very dear people to me that have helped me out this past year. And we'll be making some serious announcements for them, you know, as soon as possible. And I think it is it's very, very important for me to make sure that they know that they're loved and appreciated, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been able to make it this far. I would have this past year, I wouldn't have made it. Like I said, I'm going to make some major announcements about this one particular individual that took me in when I basically just, my world imploded on me.
Yes.
I need to make sure that I do that in a proper manner. I wasn't ready to say anything about it, but I got some serious stuff that I got to do, and once I can get that done, I'll make that major announcement about this one particular person. There's a lot of people that I love and care about that helped me through these last 34 years. Obviously, my mom, my dad, and my siblings and things like that. But you know, when everything went to hell in a handbasket in this past year and a half, you know, one person just stepped up to the plate and just really took me in and saved me and nursed me back to health. So I really have to give that person the proper props, and I will make sure that it happens when the opportunity comes. But yeah, there's one particular person that stands head and shoulders above everybody else, because at a time that nobody could help me, they stepped up and helped.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to give everyone an applause that have supported you to the best of their ability, family and friends. So let's give them an applause that they will keep on supporting you on all your projects. Now, we have a few minutes left live on air. CEO Eric Mims, sell me a car. How would you sell me a car, one of your cars?
Well, Brenda, let's talk about the brand new E7 Wi-Fi edition. You're talking about a vehicle that seats seven that will give you 1,000-mile range, recharge in 5 minutes. You will only have to pay $30 for that 1,000-mile range, and you won't have to go into a charging station for 2 years or 24,000 miles.
Yes.
You'll have full bumper-to-bumper warranty on that vehicle. Anything goes wrong with it, we will fix it or replace that vehicle for you. We are so proud and so stand behind our vehicles that, you know, not only will you be able to get a vehicle that's going to take care of all your needs. You're going to be driving in a vehicle of luxury and comfort that you cannot even begin to get anywhere else but from Mims Motors Corporation. You're going to be joining a family that once our premium vehicles come out, you'll be able to upgrade to those premium vehicles. And not only that, you'll have a unparalleled experience from that situation where you thought that, hey, you know what, I got this new E7 and it's nothing like it. When you get to the premium vehicles that come out afterwards and you're fully integrated into the motor family, you won't want to buy another vehicle at all, because you're going to get not only service but quality, not only quality, but you're going to be helping save the environment. And that's going to be something that nobody can help you do better than Mims Motors Corporation, because from the top to the bottom, you're going to be absolutely taken care of 100%.
Wow, that is zero range anxiety, right?
Zero range anxiety. You never have to worry about being stuck anywhere. Don't have to worry about anything. We'll take care of it.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I want one. And go ahead and give the information of your website and how to purchase and make an order on one of your vehicles and their availability.
Yeah, right now you can go to www.mimsmotorsusa.com. That's www.mimsmotorsusa.com. And you'll be able to order any of our vehicles that are on the website right now. You'll be able to E7, E7 Plus Lithium, which you can get this year. And also, let me see, we'll be adding the trucks and everything else on the website. You also can order the E750, which is our minivan. And we have a lot of different things you're going to be able to do on the website right now. And if you order the E7 Plus Lithium, the great thing about that particular vehicle is that you'll get it this year, 260-mile range, and you'll be able to trade that vehicle in basically when the E7 Wi-Fi edition comes out, much more powerful vehicle. You'll be able to choose your motor system range, and it becomes standard, and you'll be able to walk into our dealership and hand the keys over, give them a dollar, sign the contract, get the drive out in the brand-new Wi-Fi-equipped vehicle. And
wow.
take that vehicle, and you'll have the opportunity and know that that particular vehicle will be refurbished and allowed to be resold to another individual that that needs it, such as a firefighter, police officer, or teacher, or someone along those lines. We really, really want to help the teachers, because the teachers are the ones that are teaching our children to do
right.
that. And if we can give them an opportunity to gain something, it's kind of like reaching back and paying it forward a little bit. So really excited about that opportunity for the chance to help as many people as possible. And not only with Mims Motors Corporation, you're going to be helping the community and helping the environment, and eventually we'll be able to get this whole climate change situation
yeah.
with, and we can all breathe fresh, clean air and drink clean
yeah.
water.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that information. And also I'd like to ask you, Mr. Mims, about your social media. If anyone wants to follow up with you on social media, where are you at?
Right now, just Twitter at the moment. We will be setting up for some other things so far as Instagram, Facebook, and things like that.
Okay.
I basically was handling some of those things for a while. And I kept getting in trouble with legal, because I'm goofy when it comes down to, I just love people and I want to laugh and joke and things like that. And
yeah.
Sometimes we find out in this day and age that people don't have a sense of humor anymore. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a full team that's going to have a full social media. There's some commercials that are going to be coming out.
All right.
We've got some commercials. We've got couple folks like Grand Puba and some other people that have done some music. We were featured in Black Parade magazine, under Mims Motors. I think they've since taken that out because we haven't come out this year yet. It was in last year, Black Parade magazine. And we're trying to get some other things done so far on social media. We will be featured in some of the upcoming races with Gandalf Motorsports. We've got a system that we're working on for an electric Indy car, and hopefully we'll be able to get that done. And not only we don't want it just to be a pace car, but we actually want to go out and race against the actual gas-powered vehicles that are running around in Indy and F1. So we're looking forward to doing some really, really cool stuff to showcase our technologies and go up against the best of the best. In order to be the best, you got to beat the best. So that's what we're trying to do. And we're looking forward to giving everybody a run for the money.
All right. Thank you for that information. We have a caller. This will be the last time anyone can call on the show. We only have a few minutes left on air. Area code 916. Go ahead and 916. Go ahead and speak. State your name, please.
All right, how you doing? This is Harris Walker, CEO of Hand in Hand Foundation.
Mr.
Mims, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. Doing well, and yourself?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I was looking for you in 2020. I was looking for it to come out. I was pushing people, telling them, hey, man, y'all got to support this. What I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
pandemic handed us our butts. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I kind of figured that, man. I kind of figured that. I really did, because I've been watching you guys, since it come out, you're in my city, and the Mims know me. Y'all know me. So, I seen that you were on, man. I said, no, I got to call in real quick and say hi at least and let them know, hey, bro, we pushing for you. And,
Appreciate it.
Whatever Hand in Hand Foundation can do to help get this going and help push you out there and get it cracking, let's get it cracking.
What we're doing is right now, my brother, is we're the more purchase orders and the more people that actually put deposits on, it's like people look at it and say, oh, it's just $100, for a deposit, what's that going to do? It basically tells the companies that we're dealing with, the financial institutions,
that the product
that people actually want it. Yeah, the people actually want it.
Oh, I understand the whole process. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I understand the reasons behind that. Are you coming out with those same models, Are you the plan, or are you doing a redesign?
There have been some redesigns done. The vehicles look nicer. Like the black SUV that I'm standing next to on the website, that's been upgraded. The actual E7 Plus is a much nicer vehicle. I won't say a much nicer vehicle. It has better materials in it. The design has been changed a bit, and that kind of messed us up a little bit because of our partner that actually manufactures a lot of the parts for us. They changed some things, and when we went to go get through EPA approval, we weren't able to go through EPA approval with that particular vehicle. So there was a more than 20% change done to the vehicle. So we were right at the point where we're trying to get through EPA and for the approval, but the vehicle changed. So since the vehicle changed 20%, we had to go back and get the new vehicle to go through EPA approval. So we had to start the process over.
Go back to redesign. So,
yeah, and that basically goes back to that situation when you start talking about the money. You know, when you got billions of dollars, you can basically say, oh, well, you got to change something? Okay, no problem.
I feel you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But when you're struggling, you know, you're on the struggle buggy, you know, you got to try and go through things and make it work. And when that happens, that causes a lot bigger problem. You know, I mean, we won't have that problem. Once we get the EPA approval, we'll have no more issues. You know, because you've got the carbon credits, you've got, you know, additional collateral, things like that that comes through that allows the bank to feel more comfortable, you know.
Right.
But again, you know, it basically comes down to what is the viability of getting this thing done. And we've shown that we've had the longevity. We just now got to get the orders up so that we can get that done. And that kind of happened with the Gandalf Motorsports deal. We got a 50,000 car purchase order, and we'll have that documentation today. We'll be making some major announcements on that, and people will be able to see what's going on. And once we get that done, it's off to the races. So,
all right,
excited about that.
All right,
that
thank
sounds
you for
like
calling
good news,
in.
Girl. Definitely.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
let
you
me ask
much.
You: is the number still 313-6467? 888.
Hang on for a second. Let me double check for you. Make sure, because we've had a tremendous 888-313-6467. And we've had a tremendous amount of, you know, it's very difficult to get through because a lot of people are calling because we're obviously going to be hiring in a number of different areas. And some people are calling about cars and things like that. The best way to do it is to go on the website and fill out the questionnaire and request information. And once they request information, eventually we can get back in contact with folks. It's just been an overwhelming amount of people that have, you know, shown some support and things like that. And,
man,
you know,
I've been pushing
difficult.
You for 3 years.
Yeah.
I've been pushing people getting them ready for you for 3 years. That's where you think all of hits coming to the website is coming from. I've been telling people for years, man. Come on, I got people all around the world. So
yeah,
I'm trying to tell people, get ready. Support Mims. And then Detroit needs to support Mims too, because that's what Detroit was built on.
Yeah.
We got some stuff going on over there in Michigan.
All right.
Well I'll get back to you through the corporation.
All right. Thank you for
calling. That sounds awesome.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you
so much.
Wow, ma'am. Okay. So we're going to have to end the show. If anyone has missed the show, this show has been recorded. Ma'am, any words of encouragement you would like to give for those that are suffering in the world today behind your inspiration of your company and your vehicles?
Well, the best thing I can say to anybody is never give up, because as long as you're trying and as long as you're still moving forward, you got a shot. You know, there's a saying, you know, you got a puncher's chance. And as long as you keep swinging, you can get there. And, you know, it's a difficult thing. I've been at this for a long time. A lot of people have said, you know, why don't you give up or just sell it off? But, you know, when you look at how far you've come, you know, and how, you know, you're still standing, just the fact that you're still standing is still a victory. So taking the small victories and keep pushing forward until you get there, because the small victories add up to a big one. And, you know, we're rooting for you and we're pulling for you. You just got to keep it moving and you'll get there. You know, don't let nobody tell you can't do it. As long as you believe, as long as you believe, you can achieve it.
All right. Y'all heard it from the CEO, Eric Mims, from Mims Motors Company USA. Go to his website and put down your deposit on an order of a vehicle and take it from there. And I want to thank you, Eric, for taking out your time to participate, to come on my show again. Will you be able to come back on my show months later and update us on your company and your vehicles?
Hey, you family, you know I got to come. My mom would kick my behind if I didn't come over to this house. I could be going to help Brenda. What's wrong with you?
I love you, Eric.
Yeah,
I am so proud of
you.
You
too, cuz.
So all for everyone that's listening in, it's your move to invest in MIMS Motors Corporation here in USA, its technology, and believing that we're getting our earth back to its clean state and healing. I'm going to end the show and sing Your Move by Brendan Rockwell, some smooth jazz by this bassist. And he has also announced his new album coming up this summer. Thank you, Eric MIMS. Bless you. I love you, family. Thank you, everyone that has called in, and thank you, all the listeners, and thank you for all the supporters that support my platform. Stay tuned for more shows I have till the end of this month. You have a blessed day, Eric Mims, and thank you again. Love you. Goodbye, everyone.
You too, guys. Love you. Peace.
and they've got thousands of people.